Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
We're so happy that you would join us today. We know that there is a word from the Lord, and this is your day, your time, your season to be blessed. Amen. But before we go too far, we want to go ahead and get into our announcements and into our prayer. So we're going to have Prophetess Crystal to go ahead and lead us in our prayer and in our announcements. Prophetess.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. Once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. This evening's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear every broadcast live at www.ctkr.org. As you're visiting our website, we do ask that you would support this ministry, pray for this ministry, and even be a financial blessing to this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. If any of you would like myself, my husband, for ministerial engagements, you want prayer, someone to touch and agree with you as you're on our website, go to the contact page, amen, and you will follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours, amen. Also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page. We invite you there. Like us. Leave some praise reports as well. Let us know how this ministry, this broadcast, is blessing your life. Amen. Amen. Those are the announcements for this evening. Now let us look to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you. Hallelujah. Your name is worthy to be praised. We give your name glory. We give your name honor. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your hand of mercy, God. We thank you for your grace in this hour. Now, God, as we come before you, we just lift up our hands and our voices and our hearts and our minds, and we just once again say thank you. We come into your presence, Lord, with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We're thankful unto you, and we are definitely blessing your holy name. God, we know that without you, we are nothing. We stand before you empty, Father. We ask that you would just breathe upon us now by the precious Holy Spirit. Breathe upon us a fresh anointing on your people in the name of Jesus. Father, we even pray as you see any sin that is in our life, we ask for forgiveness right now. We come to the throne and we just repent for all sins. We ask that you would forgive us for all unrighteousness, God, all iniquity. Wash us in your blood. Wash us in your word. Make us clean once again before you in the name of Jesus. Father, as the man of God begins to minister this word, speak forth through him tonight. Let us hear what you have to say tonight. Let it be a word that will begin to shift us out of of our comfort zones tonight. Let it be a word that will begin to shake us. Let it be a word that will push us, amen, into our destiny, push us into our next level, push us into our prophetic promise in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you for the apostles. We thank you for the prophets. We thank you for the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists. We thank you for the fivefold, God, those who are truly called by you, that you're raising up their voices in this hour and in this season. We must stay focused. We thank you, God, for the intercessors and the prayer warriors. We thank you for the watchmen and the watchwomen that are standing on the wall. We must stay focused in this hour. God, we must understand our purpose. We must understand who we are in you. We must understand your word is greater. We must understand, God, our purpose, our plan, and our destiny in you in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking now, even now, as we begin to pray for our president and pray for those who you have placed in leadership, God, begin to guide them, surround them with men and women of integrity, of men and women of stature, men and women that will speak truth to them and guide them and give them godly wisdom in the mighty name of Jesus. You said in your word that the heart of the king is in your hand. We believe that tonight, Father, that you will begin to move this country in the right direction, calling upon your name, calling upon your name and giving your name glory and honor in Jesus' name. Now, God, we just worship you. We magnify, we glorify, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for your covering. We thank you for your grace. Even now, set a fire up under our feet. Let us hear a prophetic word on tonight, God, that will begin to open up our ears and our eyes that we may see and hear what we must do. Father, we bless you. We glorify you. We thank you, and we give your name all praise, all glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. We're so grateful for that prayer. Thank you for allowing the Lord to use you in that powerful prayer tonight. Brothers and sisters, there's so much that we have to deal with as it relates to this place and this time that we're in. Those of you who have been looking at the news have seen that yet again there has been miscarriage of justice.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to begin to look at what it really is, amen, and stop making excuses. You hear me say this all the time, no excuses for bad behavior. Well, we really got to start dealing with no excuses for bad behavior. It's just apparent that if you are a minority in this country, in certain places like Florida, where we are, then the laws are misinterpreted when it comes to you, but interpreted properly when it comes to everyone else. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's just say it like that. Mm-hmm. And I like the way that some of the reporters are looking at it, some of the legal analysts and even some of the lawyers are saying, let's take a step back and reverse the roles. Say that it is not a black male juvenile, but it's a white male juvenile. And the person who fears for his safety is a black male adult. Would it be okay if he fired rounds into a vehicle, left the scene,
mm-hmm.
You know, with no thought of what he did, because he felt that he feared for himself and he used stand the ground, you know, stand your ground as his defense. We still hear from Zimmerman, who says he feels that he's being victimized. And it's an atrocity because we all know that you killed,
yes,
in innocent blood, a young black man.
Mm-hmm.
We can't say nothing. Well, you know, we trust in the court system. I'm proof that the court system doesn't work properly. Amen. Some things that I've gone through in my life, miscarriage of justice that I have to deal with and go through. And those of you who know my story understand that my testimony is not that I fall or that are fallen, but mm-hmm. that despite what they try to do, I stand. Amen. You know, we go forward. So we have to really look at where we are as a body, amen, and also where we are as a people. And it's at this time that it's difficult to gauge, if you will, the two. We have people who feel that justice has been served and everything is fine, and, you know, until the next atrocity. And here you are, you're running after your cars, your houses, you want your stuff, and we have lost sight of what it is that is really going on in the body of Christ. We have become pacified with things and not with assignments. It is not doing what God called us to do and focusing on his glory, getting him the glory that we are focused on. We're trying to get more of us and prove to everybody that we have arrived based on what we drove in, where we live, how big a house we have, our bank accounts, mm-hmm. and the names that are on the clothes that we wear. You know, it used to be that we were so focused on the things of God that the enemy couldn't come in and sway us one way or the other because we wasn't looking.
Yes.
You know, satisfied with Jesus, yes, I am. Hmm. And now we're not satisfied with Jesus. You see, we're here recognizing that Jesus is alive, but we've given him more things that we've put on the cross that he never took there. I'm going to let that just settle there. We put more things on the cross that he never... You have to understand, when Jesus died doing two things. Number one, he was satisfying the requirements of the law. Amen? And that requirement is that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. So what he was doing was he was satisfying the sin requirement. Amen? The second thing is he was ushering us in to a place where we could go back to the original assignment given to us. Go forward, have dominion, be fruitful, and multiply, have dominion over all the earth. So as we are looking at it, he's given us the ability to walk and demonstrate the power of the kingdom in the earth. Amen? Now, if you don't understand that that's what he's done, amen, he didn't take away the hardships of life, but he gave you power to overcome. People telling you that if you're going through hardships in life, it's because you have sin in your life and you got to get out of that poverty mentality and everything. Listen. The Church of Macedonia was impoverished. Amen. We can go into the Book of Revelations, the Church of Smyrna. Amen. When we begin to look at that, we're looking at churches and those who were impoverished. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
See, when you look at all of this and you begin to talk about, you know, who made it and how they made it and what was going on with them, we have to deal with the reality that there are some churches and some people who don't have the means, amen, but yet and still they love the Lord, amen?
Amen.
Huh? And when we talk about them, we got to stop talking down to them and realize that they are brothers and sisters, amen, amen, who are here walking the walk, living the life the best that they can, amen?
Mm-hmm.
I'm praying, I'm asking God for the ability to really go in and deal with these churches in Revelation. We have taken aside from hearing the word of God and the revelation from the Spirit of God as he interprets the scripture for us, for our daily lives and living, and started becoming legalists. And there are so many things that are going on. Preachers who have become disgruntled and disenfranchised with Christianity are leading the way in trying to tear down the very foundation of the gospel.
That's the truth, sir.
So here you are. Well, I believe it because I heard it from a preacher. Really, is the preacher really preaching the gospel?
Mm.
See, why am I speaking all of this? I'm speaking this because we've been talking about wake up. We need to wake up. Awake, 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 O Zion. Listen, we're not awake yet. We're casually going through the, I guess you can say the motions, but we have lost the heart, the drive to really challenge people into the kingdom. We're not challenging anyone. We could sometimes care less if they come. God is going to deal with us about how we're dealing with the assignments that he's given us. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And I would hate to be on the wrong side of that discussion. Amen? Huh? What are you going to tell the Lord when he says, what have you done with what I've given you?
That's what he's going to say.
What have you done with the assignment that I charged you with? The authority that I delegated to you, what have you done with that to demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lord, I went and got this house, and then I got this car, and then I was looking good, and I said, everybody that you did it for me. He said, how many souls have you brought into the kingdom? How many times have you assisted in building the kingdom? You look good. How do I look?
True.
Your house is together. How does my house look? Your stuff is fried out, laid to the side with stuff backed up. You have redundancy around you when it comes to your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But where is the things that I need for my house? Who knows that you were saved on the level that you say you're saved? It is interesting that as people are walking around claiming Christianity, there are more people who claim it in name but demonstrate everything that the devil has for them without even dealing with any of those issues. Perfect example, you deal with people who tell you, I'm a Christian too, and then bring all of the gates of hell against people and work the works of the enemy, huh?
Mm-hmm. They want to challenge you.
Huh? Jesus said it like this. He said, I know who you are because you do the works of your Father.
There you go.
Okay? And we're not talking about your Heavenly Father. Well, you know, somebody got to do... Satan is an accuser of the brother. What are you doing? Trying to accuse the brother. Well, somebody got to do it. You know, we got to have a standard. You are not the standard. And if you're doing the work of Satan, then stop bearing the name of Christ because you don't demonstrate him. You're not him.
Amen.
This is the type of gospel that apostles like myself get in trouble for because I refuse to back down. I'm not going to take down. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. Amen? Like it or lump it, this is really what it is. Amen?
Amen.
And when God called us to this, God began to challenge us. There were people in positions that tried to get us to do other things other than this gospel and made it so that if we would have complied, you know, they could have made things easy and made it go like this and made it go like that. And God said, no, I didn't call you to sell out. I called you to stand. Lord, that a priest right there. And we got to get back to standing. Amen. Revelations 2 and 8. Amen. Just so we can put some scripture here. We've been talking about those who have been walking around in prosperity theology and hyper grace, and there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who are following after these theologies, and this is all the gospel that they have heard and all that they feel that they need to know. So when we deal with a just God and he begins to send his wrath, amen, they feel that that can't be God because my God, the one that I serve, wouldn't do. You don't know what your God would do because you don't really know your God. See, When we preach a gospel that goes around the corner and never deals with the realities of who God is and what he does, then people, when God shows up, they don't recognize their God. When God said, listen, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And when people say, well, you know what? Y'all not going to judge me. I'm going to live my life. And then God sends judgment and we start to see the wages of sin manifesting. Then people say, this can't be God because God is the God of love. But you never got in the word and they won't preach this part of the gospel to you so that you know that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Brothers and sisters, we got to stop making excuses for bad behavior. Revelations 2 and 8. It says, and to the angel of the church of Smyrna, amen, right, these things say the first and the last who was dead and came to life. Amen. So we know we're talking about Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. I know your works, tribulation and poverty. But you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Oh, hold on now. Because we've been hearing people say that Jesus nailed your poverty and your sin, and okay, all right, you don't have to go through. God, Jesus went through on the cross. It is against God's law for you to be going through right now. If you're going through, then you're not trusting in God, because he already died for that. Okay, so this right here then would be error in the statement, wouldn't it? If Jesus already died for you and your sins, yes, your sins are forgiven. But for you not to go through anything unless you're sinning, that's an error. Poverty. He nailed poverty to the cross. I told you earlier, they're out there putting more stuff on the cross than Jesus ever died for. He didn't die for your enrichment or your poverty. He didn't die for that, or else he wouldn't be the angel who's writing here saying, says these things, says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulations and poverty, but you are rich. And that word rich doesn't mean physically or materialistically rich.
Right.
You see that? Huh? See, we've been trying to make that, a standard where we got so much, and look at the car I'm driving. I'm driving Infiniti. I'm driving a Lexus. I'm in my Volvo, my Audi. We got all those names and everything, and you know. But after you get done trying to prove to people how much you got, have you really dealt with what's going on here? It is amazing to me that God can bless people with the means to take care of the kingdom and kingdom responsibility. You know that every church needs to raise monies, amen? It is just inevitable,
right?
Amen?
Right.
Because business has to be taken care of. You can't hebo boshando, amen, the electric company and the mortgage company. You got to take care of those things, amen? So we know you have to raise the money for that. We know that if you're full-time in the ministry, that whatever you bring in is what your wage is. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that there are people out there right now who can't see past their next check. They can't make it to their next check. And that, yet and still, we got people in the pulpit telling them that the only way for them to be enriched is to keep giving and sowing into them. I still remember one of these mega preachers talking about how there was a member of the church, a tithing member of their church, and got into a place where they were going to lose their house. And they called over to the church office and finally got them and asked them and said, listen, we need help. Our house is foreclosed on, and they're coming in and they're seizing everything in the house, and we're trying to liquidate things so we can, you know, try to save our home. And he said, well, what do you have? Mm-hmm. And they said, all we have left is a baby grand piano that belonged to our grandmother and our great-grandmother, and it's been passed down to our mother, and that's the last thing that we have in the house, a family heirloom that we've kept because it's been something that is in our family for years. He said, for centuries or generations, amen.
Right, right.
And he said, well, sell the piano.
Yeah.
Throw the piano into the church and watch what God will do for you. They said, but that's something that has been in our family. He said, sow it and watch what God will do.
Mm-hmm.
And they sold that piano.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lost the house.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 years later,
3 years,
they got another house. And he said, look what God did. 3 years after that, they got a house. Isn't that wonderful how God worked that thing out? Wait a minute, hold on. I don't know how your clock works. But if I'm trusting in God and I'm trusting in all that you're saying, when I sold the piano, this should have been a saving of the house. How about even this? If you know that I've been sowing into your ministry, I've been giving to you, amen? We've been dealing with sowing into the kingdom according to what you've been preaching out of the word, and then my house is at a place where I need to have some help from those that I've been helping. Shouldn't there be a helping hand that comes back? See, you know, when we live this lifestyle, amen, this kingdom lifestyle, it means that we're going to be challenged on certain areas. We're going to go through, but regardless of how tempting it is to go out and fleece the flock and come and find a way to profit money out of people's hands and pockets and pocketbooks, amen, talk to you until you swipe the card and your life savings going, and God is about to do it. Don't call me, I'll call you. Listen, we got to get away from that stuff. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still a valid gospel. The power of God still works. And we got to get down to preaching an unadulterated gospel so lives can be changed. Amen? We don't see miracles, signs, and wonders. We stopped trusting in that. We started trying to buy our way out of sinful relationships and latent behavior patterns. See, you stop giving and start changing your life. There's nothing in the scripture that talks about your giving in order for you to make it into heaven. But he does talk about being transformed by the renewing of your mind and being conformed to the image of his son. See, we stop talking about personal development as it relates to kingdom and kingdom lifestyle and kingdom assignments, amen? Those God-given things that will lead us into the blessing of God and the riches of God, amen, and the prosperity of God. We stop talking about change your life, and we started telling you if you sow the seed will turn around and bring you a harvest, and a harvest you can live off. So we got sinful people trying to work a system without changing their lives. God isn't pleased with that. Churches are closing, selling left and right. People are sitting around trying to figure out, I've sold. Where did you sow? How did you sow? Did you sow into the kingdom? Or did you sow into a person who said that they represented the kingdom? See, if you sold to that person, then that person's responsible for your harvest. If you sold into the kingdom of God, that's your tithes, your offering, your time, amen, your energies, your skill set, those things that you give to God, give back to him, then God will turn around and make sure that those things make you prosperous and rich, amen? And when I say prosperous and rich, I'm not talking about you have so much money that you don't need God anymore.
Right.
See,
right.
We're not content anymore with what we have, amen? Thank you, Holy Spirit. We'll get to that in a second. Look what it says here. It says, but you are rich. Luke 12 and 21 says this, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. There are some people who are walking around They're laying up as much stuff as they can for themselves.
Yeah.
But they have no treasure with God. They have no spiritual currency.
Mm-mm.
Broke, but got the baddest car. Broke, but got the biggest bank account. Broke, but have a mega ministry. See, I'm one of those who understand that Satan is out to do what he can do. And people stop being spiritually sound and running forward with that. What they started doing is they started bringing around them people who had permits to carry, training their armor bearers and everybody so that they were MMA and you know, I got this kind of gun. I know more gun-toting preachers than I can shake a stick at. And they said, if anybody run up on me, you just got to be smarter out here. You got to be wise. How about you be anointed? Amen? See, when they came to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they came after them, they said, are you? He said, I am he. The Bible says that they fell down like dead men. Mm-hmm. And see, you got to understand the power of God. Amen. That worked then still works today. And when people are running up trying to steal and take from you and you got the power of God, see, they'll run up, but the Spirit of God on the inside of you will slay that enemy. They'll fall out like dead men. Too many shysters out here with titles.
You should tell the story of what happened.
Oh. Wait. Go ahead, Prophet.
As I was listening to an apostle speak, that actually brought to my remembrance, there was a ministerial function that Apostle and I were invited to with several others.
Oh, yes. Lord Jesus.
And in the midst of
church dedication,
thank you, a demonic spirit arose in one of the members. Now, the person who was running or in charge of the program backed up, number one. One person backed up. All the ministers and the elders that were around, they started backing up. And next thing we know, the one that was actually doing the dedication was being flung around left and right.
Like a rag doll,
talking about come out. The other people that were supposedly the armor bearers started doing MAA moves almost.
Trying to find ways to trip him up or, you know, hold him down or grab him or something, you know.
And
one is a black belt and he was trying to, you know, do a move.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what the move is, but it had nothing to do with spiritual warfare.
Exactly.
Keep going.
Long story short, an apostle came in late trying to join in for the meeting, saw what was going on. Walked up there in the name of Jesus.
Laid hands on the man's head.
He
fell out.
That was it.
Boom.
The story was over.
Everybody was like, yes. I almost had him. Wait a minute. Hold on. Stop. You can't almost have
a demon.
Either you got it or you don't.
And that's the truth.
And you know, we're not talking and training in spiritual warfare anymore.
No.
Those type of people don't believe that we have to fight anymore. They got authority. I can walk on water if I need to. I'm going to live forever. Okay, well, no one's done it yet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not God. Amen. Jesus died himself. He got back up, but he died. See, you got to stop walking according to your desires. You love this life so much that you don't want to leave it.
That's basically what it is.
That's why you don't want to get this gospel preached around the world, because
mm-hmm.
you're afraid that the rapture will come and you'll lose it all. And I don't know what I got over there, but I know what I got here.
Woo, you see this? I got Louis Vuitton this, and I got, okay, you dropped every name that you could. You were eating in every high-end restaurant trying to prove that you can eat there. And, you know, you're doing everything that you can, but you still can't deal with the gospel. These things say, the first and the last, who was dead and came to life, I know your works. And this is a good church. This is one of the good churches that Jesus is speaking of. Amen?
Amen.
But look at everything that he's saying here. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say that they are Jews and are not. They say that they're apostles. They say that they're prophetess, evangelist, pastors, teachers. I know right now that there's a certain person walking around calling themselves apostle, has no apostolic anything. They've been running after that title for a while. They thought that I would lay hands on them and put them into the office. And when I challenged them on who they was, they went back to the child, and I've always prophesied as a child and everything else. And I've been trying to get this so I can set my church and do this. You don't need to be an apostle to set your church. And while you're running after that, you're trying to get authority that's not yours. You're trying to walk in an office that you don't have a grace for. But somewhere along the line, somebody allowed her to put that on her title. And she's walking around calling herself right now apostle. See, when you have a apostolic mantle on you, then you'll follow the precepts of the Bible. And I can't tell you how many times they have used the, I'm sick, we need to raise some money to help.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to do this the right way. I share with you all that I'm in a class right now dealing with world history or world religion. And one of the things that I'm noting is that with this world religion is that there are so many people who are disgruntled, they're hurt, they're upset, they're believing and looking for something that they can believe in that doesn't have a whole bunch of crazy attached to it. How many Christians have left Christianity for some alternative form of religion? They want to have the discipline of a religious liturgy. They want to go in and know that I'm praying and I'm doing this. They want that, but they don't want all the hoopla and all the you know, the fluff and everything else, you know, that goes along with. You got three people, and when you talk, you act like you got 3,000, you know. Be who you are. Be at the level you are. God gave you three, deal with those three. You know, he give you three more. Amen? See, we got to stop putting on airs, because people come in and find out that you're lying. And when they find out that you're lying, then they take everything else that you said as a lie, too. I thank God for grassroots ministry. Because they start off with a family and a few people, and they grow into the ministry of hundreds and thousands that you see. But that shows a dedication to growth. You see, you don't go in trying to be that mega ministry or that hundred or thousand member ministry when you first start. You come in trying to do the work, and you do what you can to help build that. Until it grows into what everybody else is looking at. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
This church here at Smyrna was dealing with people who were walking around saying that they were part of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that they knew the way, and they did not. Carrying titles and dressed up properly. You know, they knew the protocol. They had the lingo down. They knew when to say hallelujah and bless his name and all the rest of that. They had the timing down. You couldn't tell that they didn't have it, because they knew how to do it. But Jesus said, I know the blasphemy of those who said that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Then it goes on 10 verse 8, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. In other words, you're going to go through some stuff. okay? Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days.
Mm.
That means that you went through some stuff and you waiting on somebody trying to get an evangelist in that's going to come in, or somebody, a prophet's going to come in and prophesy wealth and prosperity. We're going to get this apostle come in and he's going to establish a protocol of wealth and prosperity. Wait a minute, hold on. If that's not the assignment, then no one can do anything. If Balak and Balaam should tell you a story that whatever God says is what's going to be decreed and declared. I don't care how bad a liar they are. They come in and try to, but eventually, if the power of God will arrest that lying demon, and they have to tell the truth. What do you mean you're blessing them? I can't bless who God, I can't curse who God is blessed. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Look what it says here. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. They don't want the crown of life because they love their life.
That's the problem.
They ain't ready to die yet.
Yeah.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Now, if I know anything, and I think I know just a little bit, I don't know everything, but I know a little bit. I do know this, though, that if I can miss the second death, I'm going to definitely miss that one. See, it's appointed once for a man to be born and once to die.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The fact that you're hearing me, amen, means that you already met one of those appointments. The second appointment you're going to meet as well. But the second stuff here, you can bow out of that appointment gracefully by simply living a holy, righteous life.
Amen.
Accepting Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
When we see these things here in the Bible, then we have to be very careful. That we're actually hearing what he's saying. God is speaking to us now. Going back to what I said at the very beginning, when we look in the land, we're seeing all kind of atrocities happen. Young black males being categorized as threatening, and people who are older and white or other nationalities walking around saying, you know, I feel threatened. So I felt that I had a right to kill him. And then they're going to court and they're getting mistrials and not guilties. And we're sitting back going, how do you justify that?
Well, let it went the other way.
Mm-hmm. If it would have went the other way, it would have been different. We got to look at all of these things and we got to get back to our assignment. We're not crying loud and spare not about the kingdom of God. We're not talking about Jesus anymore. We're focused on everything but the mission of the cross.
That was good.
And God is bringing us back around to the assignment. See, when we are back at the assignment, then we'll begin to pray. Amen? Huh? And if we're praying, then he'll hear us.
Just prayed that prayer the other day. Yes.
See, when we begin to do this, amen, then we'll begin to see what God is saying to us. The temple is being built. Amen. And when the temple is being built, Solomon begins to pray, begins to say words, you know, like, well, what would we do, or what can we do if the people fall? Huh? What shall we do? If we come to this place and we begin to pray, huh? Will you hear us? Huh? Let's look there. The Second Chronicles 7.
Yes.
Amen. Let's go to the 12th verse. We'll read down. Amen. It says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice.
When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, and command the locusts to devour the land, and send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, why aren't we seeing this? This no humility. You see that? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Here we are in a country right now where everything is being legalized. Nothing is a sin. And those things that we know that are sinful and should be noted as sinful are being legalized. People are flaunting it in the face of yes. those who have been holding up the standard, talking about, look, it's legal now. I can live any type of lifestyle I want, and you have to validate it because it's the law. The devil's still a liar. Things that we used to look at as vices are now becoming legal commodities. You know, not only are we dealing with people who have dealt with gateway drugs such as cigarettes, which leads to smoking, which leads to the next level, which is marijuana, which leads to the next, which is all your higher level narcotics. And now they have, you know, cigarettes are still legal for you to buy. And they just made it legal for you to recreationally get any strand or brand of marijuana that you can. They're coming up with synthetic ways to make some of these drugs legal. Oh, well, you know, we're looking at the benefits of it. No, you're looking at the cash that drug dealers have been making off of it, and you're trying to find a way to level
the playing field.
Yes, level the playing field. Thank you, dear. Now, how do we tell our young men and young women that we don't do these things when they're looking at ads and all kind of other things telling them that it's natural and this is it and you can do it? And, you know, they've gone from cigarettes that you can't smoke out to these e-cigs where you pour in that whatever that liquid is, that oil, and it vaporizes so you can smoke inside and do what you're going to do. People walking around with these things and they got all kind. Listen, the Bible talks about those who create ways to do evil. Here we are. Turn from their wicked ways. We're not turning. We're not trying to turn. We're trying to legalize and you know, let's show tolerance. And, you know, we believe that everybody should have a right to live whatever life they want to live. Okay, that's wonderful for you. But realize that this word right here speaks about the wages of sin is death. I said that already. You know, and you can't get around that. Amen. Because that word was written before you came, and after you go on, that word will still be the wages of sin is death. My brothers and sisters, we got to do better, and we got to get this together. God is not winking, and he's not backing down. Those of us who are men and women of God, we need to recognize and realize that we can't back down either. There is a standard that we have to maintain, the whole. Stop trying to build your church and your ministries based on, you know, well, we gotta, you know, let them come in and everything else. They come in and they begin to turn your young men into sissies and turn your little girls into dykes and stuff. And you sitting up in there talking about, well, you know, we got to get them in so we can get them saved. No, you trying to get them in because they happen to be the people who are paying the money, and because they're paying the money and it's supporting your mercury. No, I'm sorry. Let's take that up. Your
Mercedes payment, you don't say nothing. Leave my sisters alone. God working on them. He working on everybody up in here with something. Let a preacher get caught up with one of those alternative lifestyles, and they're all over the news. Oh, not for David. Not for a good reason, but for a bad reason. Yet and still, we're being told that we have to begin to deal with the legalities of their marriage. Why go after the word marriage? Because it is another way for the enemy to throw back up into the church's face the fact that you don't have no power to do anything. Mm-hmm. And we're not worried about power. We're worried about stuff. Lord, help us.
Yep.
We got to get this together, brother, sister. The devil ain't, he realized that even though he's defeated at Calvary, he's still looking. Listen, if I going down, I'm taking as many as I can with me. You know, I'm going to get those that you really love, and those are the ones I'm going to take with me, because I'm a sore loser.
Yeah.
Amen. And Satan has been a sore loser for a long time. It's nothing new. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? And we gotta be wise enough to know that the serpent is still trying to interpret the word. He's still trying to deceive. While you sitting out there trying to act like it ain't all that, guess what? He knows that and a whole bunch more. And the more that you say that, he ain't even going to bother you. He ain't going to challenge you on it. He's going to let you believe that, knowing that the end result is you should have been standing up. You should have been moving forward.
Yeah.
But you were already deceived in your mind because what you wanted. Amen. And that's how it goes. When people start hearing what God says, they get upset because it doesn't validate what they want to believe. When it doesn't validate what they want to believe, then they start making fault with it. I shared with you all the Bible and the way that it's being taught in school is to undermine the validity of the Word of God and make it just a man-made book.
Yeah.
Those of us who know the Word and have it's come alive to us and it spoke to us, we know where it is. There is no witness anymore. There's no defense of the gospel anymore. Anything goes. We just let it go. Brothers and sisters, we got to get this together. Get it back. There is a standard, that we have to uphold. And when we start doing that, then we'll start seeing the other side of it. How do you know? He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, he didn't say, while you still going through it, once you show me that this is what you're doing, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. It's not going to get better till we turn back to God. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually.
Yeah.
Now look what happens, because we're still talking about you running after your stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. When God asked, when the Lord asked Solomon what he wanted, he asked for wisdom so that he could lead his people, you know. And we start seeing that God is blessing him because it didn't come down, you know, for his enemies and his wealth and everything else.
Right.
Stop praying for all that stuff and that God give you what he's going to give you based on your obedience to his word and his assignment. You get your blessing of obedience. That's what you're looking for. You need to seek after that. And when you get that blessing, it will be perpetual. Amen?
Mm.
Amen. That means it keeps renewing itself. Amen. As for you, if, you notice that word there, if, because we like that God said he's going to do this, and then you go off and live the life, and then you just got for not doing what he said he's going to do. But God never gives you a blessing without something to qualify it. There's always something that is attached to it that keeps you focused on the assignment. Amen.
So he says here, he says, as for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked and do according to all that I commanded you, we need to go back to Deuteronomy and look at some of these things, blessed in the city and the field. Uh-huh. But before you get to all that blessing, it says, if you will keep the commandments of the Lord this day, see, and walk in them. God is still saying, keep my commandments and walk in them. Amen. And I will bless you. Not live your life or hope that God understand and just bless me anyhow because Jesus Christ nailed all that to the cross. The blood doesn't cover anything that is not applied to. Amen. Huh? If you keep do according to all that I commanded you and keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish your throne, the throne of your kingdom, as I covenanted with David, your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. And just like we see in Deuteronomy, amen. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, mm-hmm. I will cast out from my sight, and I will make it a proverb and a byword among people. Mm-hmm. See, we still think that God is going to bless us regardless of us. And God is trying to tell us, I'm not going to bless you despite you. I'm going to bless you because of me. Because you bear my name, I'm going to bear you up. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to get it right. And then I'm going to move you out the way so that you will not embarrass my name no more. As Samson. Amen. So we have some work to do. Mm-hmm. We have some real work to do. I'm tired of looking at the news and seeing who else is walking around feeling valid and talking about, you know, America thinks like this. America does not think like that. There's a group of people who have old mentality. They still think Jim Crow. They still think segregation. They still think Civil War. Huh? And the South will rise again. They still believe that they are superior to everybody else. And in that, you start to see the actions that they perpetuate in their ranks. Every once in a while, the preaching produces a prophet who comes out and demonstrates what they've been hearing, such as Dunn or Zimmerman. But because they have put in place those covering for themselves, they walk in and do it and walk out.
Yep.
It is a shame that Dunn is going to jail for the three black males that he did not kill and not for the one that he did.
Exactly.
It is an atrocity. And we got to wake up and begin to change and turn some of these things back around and challenge them in such a way that it becomes a movement that will produce a change. Amen?
Amen.
This is what God has called us to. It's never been a peaceful march, but it has been a kingdom agenda, amen, to do something that will bring people back to God and help us to see that God is on the throne. We need to do this, amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we bless you because everything that you do is right. Now, Lord, we pray for those who are not saved. We pray, Lord, that they will pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. We pray. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, where they can be trained, developed, and mature, and go on to do the work that you've given them to do. And I pray for the saints, Lord. I pray for miracles, signs, and wonders to manifest. I pray for, Lord, those who are sick in their body, that healing would manifest right now. Lord, sickness in their minds and healing in their body in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, for resources to be released so that kingdom work can be done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.com.
www.vision.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. We have churches that are constantly coming to us needing help, and we pray that you will help us to be a blessing to them. They need your financial support. Amen. And we're asking you to help us, stand with us, be a vision partner. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. We love you with the love of the Lord. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.